Well, my regrettable role is to bring closure to these absolutely delightful proceedings. Though, of course, it's only closure of a sort, because the proceedings are about to recommence in another form in the chapel. And all I want to do is to give voice to what I think everyone here is feeling, and that is a sense of enormous appreciation of an event that has been gloriously enjoyable. Clive Wilmer, very early in the day, spoke of the tremendous cultural richness of the period that produced the King James Bible. It also describes this conference, tremendous cultural richness. We've listened with awe and delight to four superb and inspiring speakers, full of learning, of music, of poetry, and perhaps above all, of wit. Wit in that wonderful Elizabethan and Jacobean sense. We've listened to John Morrill, David McKittrick, Terry McCarthy, and Geoffrey Hill. And to all of them go our most profound thanks. Though I must add one small squabble with Geoffrey Hill, because of his aspersion on that fine word, luncheon. I would have him know that the first and last article published by my dear mother in the Neue Philologische Wochenschrift was entitled Luncheon, and pursued the etymology of those remarkable words. Though perhaps he will tell me he was right after all, if I add that she promptly abandoned scholarship and took to maternity. I've been very proud today to learn of the role played by my predecessors as master, by James Montague over there and Samuel Ward. I've been feeling a slight nervousness that Sydney's in danger of claiming a little bit too much, and the shade of Emmanuel, Peterhouse, and Jesus have been flitting around, not to speak of my old Oxford College corpus. They all have their claims. No work produced by a committee, of course, could be claimed wholly by any one college. But what has been clear is that Sydney did play a notable part in this team effort, and it's clear that as a brand new college at the very time of the generation of this work, Sydney was full of energy, smart people, good connections at court, and especially the right Puritan ideology. And speaking of James Montague, it is an especial pleasure that we have the family of James Montague represented here today by Richard McHugh, who, as the 12th Duke of the same name, is the heir of the Montague family, and as has among his modest group of properties, Boughton House, with its 4,500 hectares, five villages, which explains a tiny bit to us about what labour lies behind the foundation of a college. It's great to have you with us, Richard. My thanks go to all the speakers, but also to all the readers of passages from the Bible in many tongues, an enormous number of them, really quite outlandish. From Syriac to Czech to Swahili to West Saxon, and I think we can all agree that West Saxon wins the competition. And it is particularly nice for me to have this reassurance that our fellows in English, who I've long admired for learning, are also exponents of glossolalia. And my thanks McKittrick, who lies behind this whole inspiring aspect of this day. And my thanks too for all the other peripheral events we've had, to our Silver Curator Jan Saga for the show of the Silver in the Parlour, to Nicholas Rogers, our archivist, for the exhibition in the library. And I should also say to David Fite for producing Lucy Carrington in the Nick of Time. Clive has already thanked the organising committee. There are plenty of other people to thank. You will all have noticed this is very much a team effort. In the background, we have to thank our superb catering staff under Stephen Mather for wonderful catering of the event and the sort of effortless way in which everything has been run. And as well as then, to our development office, to Wendy Headley, and particularly our new development director, Bill Abraham. To the conference office under Marianne Euler, who has made everything just go smoothly. And behind all of them, to our bursars, Keith Willits, domestic bursar, and Nick Allen, the bursar, for encouraging and supporting this event in every way. I'm proud to be part of a college which not only has had a hand in the King James Bible, but can put on an event like this. Well done, the team. There's just one person who's gone visibly unthanked up to this point, and it's Clive Willmer himself. We've watched him introduce this event. We've heard him read from the King James Bible with the wonderful purity of emotion that only a poet can touch. This whole event is very much his baby, and it was a particularly cruel thing for the unforgiving ice of the miserable Cambridge Fen to fell him immediately before Christmas. And all credit to him for fighting back, for getting back on his feet, and for being with us here today. And at the same time, thanks again to Ed Wilson Lee, who stepped into the breach when Clive was on his back in considerable pain. I've just one final thank you. This is a repeat, but it's very important to our sponsors. Sponsors can't be thanked enough. Sydney wouldn't be here without its sponsors, from the Foundress and her circle onwards. We're lucky today to have someone so illuminated as John Osborne, who not only understands that music in the early Middle Ages and the King James Bible are important, but who's able to twit the master on his outlandish pronunciation of ancient Greek. Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone. And congratulations. With these thanks, we pass to the next episode of this tremendous cultural richness, to the chapel. Peter Waddell would like us all to be seated by 5:40, not a moment later. And you may, looking at your watches, say, oh good, that gives us half an hour to hang around and chat, but the hall staff would be deeply appreciative if you would vacate the hall so that they can transform the room into a dining room again. Thank you all and congratulations.